Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. CBS and Turner moments ago have announced an extension of their contract with the NCAA basketball tournament through 2032. It's an eight-year contract extension. It was supposed to run out in 2024. The new contract extends through 2032. It gives both CBS and Turner the ability to air games across any platform within their respective portfolios, including those to be created over the life of the agreement. So, in other words, if they have a platform you can use on your iPad, they can do that if they're the ones that create it. The total rights fee for the extension is $8.8 billion. The groups have been engaged in a 14-year, $10.8 billion deal running through 2024. CBS and Turner will continue to manage and collaborate on the NCAA's corporate marketing program, which, of course, leads to sponsorships. And they'll also do major events surrounding the NCAA championships, including the March Madness Fan Fest, which, see, now we're back to, like, Kevin's deal. Like, the Fan Fest is a huge deal to him. Like, Kevin, the games are inside. Well, no, I want to throw the beanbag into the clown's mouth. Okay. Let's see. One of the more important elements of the deal was how people consume media. And they're trying to predict what that'll be like in 2032. Laptops, mobile phones, Apple TV. However people are consuming media, they want the ability to get the games on those media through their services. It doesn't say here how they're splitting the Final Four up, which is actually the part people actually care about. Let's see. First four, first, second round games will continue to be shown on TBS, CBS, True TV, and TNT. So it's the one time all year anybody watches True TV. So for them, it's a boom. Let's see. Live coverage of the Final Four and National Championship will continue to alternate between CBS and Turner. CBS has it next year. TBS has it in 18. So there's no change in format. The Villanova North Carolina game drew 17.8 million viewers. Remember I told you, what did I tell you that they would draw? Remember what I told you? I said it would go from 28.3 million down to between 16 and 20.
Bingo.
17.8. Yep. That's because of the cable component. It has nothing to do with the quality of the game or the quality of the broadcast. It has to do with how many homes you reach. Let's see. So it's the fourth lowest viewership ever. But still, and next year it'll go up because it's going to go to CBS. So that's the part people care about. On the topic of the much-criticized CBS selection show, which delayed complete brackets until 77 minutes into the show, the entire show had just been an hour in previous years, Sean McManus said, "We haven't had any specific discussions, but I think we all agree it would serve us well, including the fan, to release the brackets a little more timely manner." Yes, indeed. Who needs hostages? All right. Dane Brugler, CBS Sports, in a few moments. First, our play-by-play call of the day.
Fastball driven to deep center. This ball is way back there, big fella. Quite bit bye-bye. He has struck again. At Fenway Park, a three-run homer. And for the Orioles, it is their second three-run homer today. My goodness, 9-6 Baltimore.
Joe Angel pretending he's from Cambridge with that Fenway Park comment. The Orioles and Chris Davis' home run stay undefeated. They won 9-7. It's the first time that Craig Kimbrell's ever allowed more than a solo home run in the ninth inning in his career. How about that? Dane Brugler, CBSSports.com, joins us to talk about the NFL draft, which is on the horizon. Dane, first time we've had you. Welcome. It's great to have you with us.
I appreciate you having me on.
All right, let's start with Tennessee. I've seen stories where it's 50-50 they might trade the darn thing. What are the pros and cons as you see Tennessee trading it, and is it realistic?
If I'm a betting man, I'd say Titans hold on to that pick and they pick number one. If I'm the general manager, I'm doing exactly what the Titans are doing right now, and that's, you know, leaking out there that there's strong interest, that interest is picking up.
Yep.
Because you want to drive up the price. You want to get interest in that number one pick. You want to see if someone's willing to overpay to trade up for that top pick. Because you look at Cleveland at two. They're a favorite to take a quarterback, and so San Francisco at 7, Philadelphia at 8. These are, you know, two possibilities where we could see a quarterback. And if they fall in love with Carson Wentz or Jared Goff, could they maybe overpay to go up and get that number one pick? John Robinson, the new general manager there in Tennessee, I mean, he's doing what he should be doing, and that's, you know, trying to gain interest for that pick. Hopefully, you know, if he can move back to, say, pick number 7 and also pick up a future one, maybe a second rounder in the process, well, then he's doing his job. Especially if they're not, you know, head over heels in love with any of the players at the number one overall pick. But if they stay at number one, which I expect they will, Laremy Tunsil, the offensive tackle from Ole Miss,
right,
makes too much sense. They need a left tackle. He's the best player in the draft. I think if the draft 3 weeks from tonight, I think that's how it's going to play out. But you never know. We might see a trade up, but I would doubt it.
You're right. You mentioned the quarterback part. In your mind, who is the number one quarterback on the board?
For me, it's Jared Goff. I think what he brings from just a mental standpoint really makes him stand out. The way he sees the field, his natural feel for the game. I think, you know, his ability to move around in the pocket with his eyes downfield, his footwork, his demeanor. I think that rhythm, that quick decision making that he has, it really projects well in the NFL. I think I'm not convinced that he's going to be, the consistent Pro Bowler, but I think he can be a long term starter, a guy that, you know, can potentially help your team to win double digit games every year. I don't think he's as talented as Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota were a year ago. So if those two quarterbacks were in this class, we'd be talking about those two at the top. But nonetheless, I think Jared Goff is worthy of top 10 consideration, especially for some of these quarterback needy teams like Cleveland at 2 and San Francisco and Philadelphia. But I think Carson Wentz is right there as well. The thing with Carson Wentz is, obviously coming from the FCS level, you have to kind of look past the decal on the helmet. And because he has all the tools, he's a great kid, mentally, physically, he checks a lot of boxes, but doesn't have the experience that you want coming from North Dakota State. So that's something that will be an intriguing storyline as we move forward.
Yeah, he wowed everybody at the Senior Bowl. What was it about the Senior Bowl, not just the game, but more importantly in practice, what did he do that really changed the dynamic for people as to how they looked at him?
Well, and that's, the Senior Bowl is so important for him because, obviously, FCS competition, if you're a talented quarterback worthy of the first round, well, then you should dominate FCS competition. And he did. Carson Wentz won 5 national titles and North Dakota State 2 as the starter. And so going to the Senior Bowl facing, you know, the best of the best in terms of senior prospects around the country, you want to see how he does with the uptick in competition. You want to see how he does with some NFL coaching. And Carson, you know, he stepped in and he killed it. He was outstanding, not only taking pro coaching from the Cowboys staff and Jason Garrett, but he didn't look like the stage was too big for him. I mean, he stepped in and was by far the best passer in Mobile this year. And he did the same thing at the Combine. He went to Indianapolis, did what he was expected to do as a potential top 5 to 10 pick. And same thing as Pro Day. So I think Carson Wentz, he doesn't have that ideal experience coming from the FCS level, but he has done everything in his power during this pre-draft process to convince teams that he's worth that top 10 pick.
You mentioned Goff. One of the knocks on Goff is his size, which, of course, comes into play here. And, of course, they've talked about everything from sleight of build to hand size. But I don't think people realize Tony Romo has relatively small hands in terms of how he handles the football. And that probably helps Goff's perception out, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's something that Romo, he measured in at 9 5/8 hands. And so Romo, not bad from a hand standpoint, right. But Goff is only 9. And so I think that's – and it's not like bigger hands makes you a better quarterback, but for a lot of these teams, it's just a threshold. Well, and as long as you
You and I both know it's a ball handling thing, though, that, you know, the ability to grip, and do you have a tendency to fumble the ball, or if the ball is even in the worst conditions, if you don't have a bigger hand, a better grip isn't on the ball in bad conditions. I mean, that's where it comes into play.
Absolutely, and it's the same thing with with height. If you're 6'5", like Carson Wentz, does that help you see the field a little bit better than a quarterback that's 6'2.5", 6'3"? Yeah, it does. You know, when you're trying to look over the offensive and defensive line, but as long as you hit a certain threshold, I think that's where teams are comfortable. And for Jared Goff, he has 9-inch hands, which is just at the threshold. He did have 23 career fumbles in college, but I think you have to be encouraged when you look at it. He had 10 in 2013, 9 in 2014, but only 4 last year. So he did see progression and he did see improvement. But he did mention a slight build at 6'4", only 215 pounds. I think he does have some room to, put on some bulk and add some more muscle. So it is a concern, but it's not a deal breaker to me. I don't think a team's going to. If you like who Jared Goff is as a passer, I think you're willing to look past the not quite ideal body type, and you're willing to draft in top 10.
How tough a call is it for you when you look at the draft on Christian Hackenberg?
It's very tough. It's a player like Christian who, he has showed so much promise as a freshman, and then obviously with the new coaching staff, you just didn't see that progression that you wanted to see. Now, how much of that is attributed to the fact that he lost Allen Robinson, or that the offensive line did not give him any help, or the play calling didn't necessarily fit a lot of his strengths, and it didn't help him progress the passer? There's so many variables when you're talking about a quarterback prospect like Christian Hackenberg. It really makes it cloudy when you're trying to determine who he's going to be as an NFL player. Now, I think there's no question about it. He will improve with some pro coaching. I think that will help him big time. But, is he already damaged goods? I mean, can he come back and show some of that promise that he showed in 2013 when he was under Bill O'Brien? It's really going to be fascinating to watch with Christian Hackenberg, because you see a lot of the promise. He checks a lot of the boxes physically, 6'4", over 6'4", 225 pounds. He has a rocket arm. He can make throws with little effort that some other guys just are unable to make. My biggest worry with Christian Hackenberg is the game seems to move at light speed for him, and I just haven't seen signs that it's slowing down for him. It really will be interesting to see where he ends up on draft day. I think it'll be somewhere in the second round. A team will take a chance on those physical traits.
Right. And he knocked it out at the pro day here. I was at the pro day, and he had a great day that day. I know he's going to work out. He's already worked out with the Eagles. He's already worked out with the Cowboys. He's going to work out for the Eagles coming up. I mentioned the Eagles and Steelers, so let's keep it local here for a moment. What do you project early for the Eagles to do, and then we'll get to the Steelers?
Well, obviously, we talked about quarterback. That's a possibility.
Yeah.
They've wined and dined some of the top passers in this class. So they're doing their homework on these quarterbacks. They need a long-term option. But moving up from 13 to 8, it opens up a few more options for them in the top 10. Because you could look at this draft class and think, it might be only 7 to 8 to 9, top-level prospects. And so I think Ezekiel Elliott is a strong candidate for the Eagles right now. DeMarco Murray, obviously, no longer on the roster. I'm not sure that they're head over heels for Ryan Matthews. So to add a foundation piece like Ezekiel Elliott, a guy that can step in and he can play all three downs. He can help out as a blocker, as a receiver. He can be a featured piece of your offense. And I think when you look at Doug Peterson and his offense, he wants balance. He's a former quarterback, but he wants a strong run game. And so I think Ezekiel Elliott makes a lot of sense.
Steelers now. We know corner has been a major point of emphasis, and any Steeler fan will tell you that. That deep in the draft, is there one that's attractive enough in your opinion, or does it go with best player on the board? And if so, what position might that be?
Yeah, I think cornerback, this would be, I think they'll have some options picking in that late first round. I think there's a good chance one of these corners they like will be there. You're looking at a William Jackson from Houston, you know, well-built kid, six and a half, 189 pounds. It ran really well at the combine and then his pro day. He's probably the best corner in this draft with his back to the ball. I mean, he understands, just that closing quickness, when to get his head around, how to knock down the ball, find it, and make plays. He had 28 passes defended last year. And in my experience, we talk about sacks with pass rushers, and it's passes defended. That's the most translatable trait or the most translatable stat. For these prospects, for corners, if guys are able to get their hands on the football in college, usually that translates to the NFL level as well. So I think William Jackson will be higher on their wish list. And then Eli Apple from Ohio State, another guy, another big guy, six and a half, 200 pounds. He ran a 4.4. He's only 20 years old. So you expect him to get better and really develop once you get him into camp.
Yeah, I know the games I've broadcast where it's been Penn State, Ohio State. I thought Eli Apple was rock solid at that corner. You didn't really, and you're right, size, speed. But, I like his instincts, too. I think he's a very instinctive corner. He seems to understand leverage.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing you have to worry about with Eli Apple is just hit with his hands. Gets a little handsy, but once he figures that out, he's going to be, he has potential to be a number one corner in this league. He hasn't figured out that balance yet, what he can get away with, what he can't. And you saw it at Ohio State, a couple holding penalties, a couple pass interference penalties. But, if that's the biggest negative you have on a corner, you take that all day long and you let your coaching coach him up. And again, only 20 years old, so you expect him to get better and better once you get him in the camp.
But that's that youth part. That's just not playing. If he plays an extra year, he might work himself out of that on the college level. But he's ready to go now. A lot of projections that Derrick Henry, the Heisman Trophy winner, is a second-round pick. Your thoughts?
Well, the biggest thing with Derrick Henry is we just haven't seen a running back like him before, at least in today's NFL. He draws some comparisons to, Brandon Jacobs, LeGarrette Blount. But for the most part, we just haven't seen a player like him, at least in recent memory. So I think that's why he's such a polarizing prospect. Why some people are all over him as maybe a late first rounder, and that some are, don't want any part of Derrick Henry. So I think the mid second round is a good spot for him. Once you get him through the line of scrimmage, he has the power and the speed to get downhill, attack that linebacker level. The biggest question is when he has to start, or he has to start in the backfield and really create on his own. He doesn't have that short area quickness to make guys miss in small spaces. He has those long strides, and so he needs to fit in an offense where it's one cut and go. Yeah. You look at Dallas, you look at Houston. That's really what fits his skill set best.
Maybe the guy that goes off the board first from Penn State is Austin Johnson. What do you like about the defensive tackle out of New York?
I think we talk a lot about production and stats, and not all of it translates. But for defensive tackles, the production matches the tape. For a player that had 78 tackles last year from an interior line position, that's outstanding. 15 of those for loss. And I think one thing, watching Penn State and studying the film, often I would see Carl Nassib or Anthony Zettel that leave the field. They wouldn't be every down players, but Austin Johnson, I never saw him leave the field. And he was constantly on the field, being a presence against the run, also disrupting the pocket. And so I think you have he has a basketball background, so he's an athlete. He can move around in there. So I think you have a starting one technique, a starting nose from day one in the NFL. And this defensive tackle class is so loaded. And so because of that, Johnson is probably going to be more in that early second round range and not the late first, but I think you're getting outstanding value. You're getting an NFL starter with Austin Johnson.
Yeah, and you're right. What they did with him was he usually rotated. He played three straight series, then rotate out. Zettel was two and then rotate out. Same thing with Nassib. So that's how they did it here. Absolutely intriguing. Thanks so much for all the information. I know you're very busy at this time of the year, and you carved out some time for us, and the audience really appreciates it, and so did I.
Yeah, anytime. I appreciate it.
Dane Brugler, CBS Sports, on the NFL Draft. Check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast, including our interview with Rich Scarcella in the previous half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Need a new truck? Sunbury Motors Ford says, this is the time and this is the place. SMC has 98 new 2016 Ford F-150s with savings up to $97.50. They start as low as $22,219. Choose from 47 2016 F Super Duty trucks that are equipped to do the best job of towing your camper, boat, or trailer. 2016 F-250 trucks are discounted up to $10,200 and are priced from just $32,279. Sunbury Motors needs your truck trade. And they're offering the absolute highest trade values during the month of April. If an SUV is in your future, SMC has 59 of the fuel-efficient 2016 Ford Escapes, and they're priced as low as $19,880. There's also 0% financing for up to 60 months on 2016 Ford Explorers, Expeditions, Escapes, and F-150s. This is the time, and Sunbury Motors is the place to get your new truck. SMC in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving all of Central PA since 1915.
Great to have you with us. It's a Tuesday. We're back after the Phillies literally stole the airtime from us. It really, I mean, let's face it. Yeah, I had to calm Sean down repeatedly. I said, Sean, come on, we want Major League Baseball.
Stole two from the Mets over the weekend. Let's see if they can bounce back losing 4-3 to San Diego yesterday, the home opener at the bank.
I tell you, Aaron Nola looks good, doesn't he?
Double digits in the strikeouts yesterday.
You know what? I'm watching with interest as to how they're going to play this with the kids. And how long is it going to be before we see the kids? Now, obviously, there's some contracts involved in this, and you want to do this in such a way where it protects the ball club contractually. But you notice this is not the kiddie lineup. They're still going with veterans. And I'm wondering what this lineup looks like once we get to, oh, I don't know, Memorial Day, mid-June. Might be a tad different. Final half hour. The phone lines open at 1-800-795-9565.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Don't forget about the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament coming up on Wednesday, May 4th. Beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club, morning and afternoon flights. We want to fill the tournament up. Why? Because it benefits the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. The Cubs' new locker room includes mood lighting. That's right, mood lighting. Depending on the situation or time of day, they decided on a circular locker room to create a sense of equality among the players. The stars and the role players get the same treatment. No offense, but Chris Bryant's better. Who would you rather have up in the ninth inning? Who'd you rather have in the mound? It's not as equal as you think. All right. That's our sports bozo of the day. There was a great moment today. We'll get to Brian in a moment here. Great moment today at the Dodgers game. On this, the opening day for the Dodgers at home, the 67th and what many believe will be the final season for Vin Scully.
I saw a picture of that on Twitter. Really cool. And they even named, 1,000 Vin Scully Way?
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that is amazing.
67 years. He began doing Dodger games when they were in Brooklyn.
I get MLB Network, and they should get some Dodgers games on there just to at least one a week.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah, you listen to him. And one thing between Sirius and MLB Network, I've heard more of Vin Scully in the last 3 years than I had in the previous. And he's a marvel. He's a marvel. This
course,
is
yeah.
not your typical 88-year-old guy out there. This is, yeah, it sounds like he's 58.
Of course, a few decades ago when Major League Baseball was on CBS Radio Sports, we had that on WKOK. And you'd hear Ernie from time to time and Vin from time to time. Oh, it was awesome.
Brian in Elysburg at 1-800-795-9565. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Steve, and, well, it must be that time of the year. Great weather, and it's great to see you on Saturday, and I predict there'll be over 70,000 fans this weekend.
Temperature's supposed to be 68 degrees and sunny on Saturday, so, Brian, I think that's a distinct possibility.
Well, I remember the first year I called you and it, when you were Kevin, and I sat in traffic for 3 hours.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I hope
the parking lot opens at 8. There's plenty of time to tailgate. I know you're a wild man out in the parking lot. I've heard rumors.
Oh, yeah. You know me, buddy. And, there's people on Facebook. They're having that meet and greet, the tailgate thing. So hopefully I can go there and meet some of the people from Facebook and everybody. And I know I'll probably run into you. I always do. And, it's always great to say hi to you, buddy. And, the man I'm looking forward to seeing is Mr. Zembic. That's who I want to see play. So, and
you're not going to see him play on Saturday.
He's not quite ready yet.
He's not quite ready yet.
Okay.
Because if people don't realize, he got a little banged up at the end of his high school season. The spring has been invaluable to him to get to learn the offense, the feel for it, and so forth. I mean, he'll physically be out there, but I doubt he'll take a snap.
Yeah. Now, the injury situation, I know Brandon Bell, I think, not going to play, and I know Wartman White not playing, right? Who else?
You're right, right. Wartman White, though, is running. Nye is running, which is a really good sign. And I talked to Nye last week, and he thinks by the mid to end of June he'll be full go, which is good because he tore the ACL in early September. So it'd be about 8.5-9 months at that point. So that makes sense. He's on track. He's doing pretty well. Told me his weight's about 250 right now, which is good. Brandon Bell, if they had to play this week, Brandon Bell could play. I mean, he could, but he's not going to. He's not going to. But if they needed him to play, he could.
Yeah, well, but like I said, the blue-white game is always good because you never know who's going to come out of the woodwork. And
that's true.
That's right. And as years come by, people have, if they showed up on special teams or something like that, that's great. It's great for the guys. But as like we talked before, the main thing is there you get an education. And, there's more than football than life, we know that. And I think I'm one example of that. I played high school football, and thank God I got a job.
I played high school football too, and now I pretend when I know what I'm talking about.
You better believe it, buddy. And real quick about Vin Scully, he's unreal. I'm 52 years old, almost 53, and it was always great when he was on TV and all that stuff to watch him and all that. And then it's always great now. I listen on radio sometimes to listen to some of the different guys talk and all that stuff. And some of these, the kids are around now. They don't realize, these big stars. Schmidt and all them. I saw them play when I was growing up, and now they're almost older than me. So it's something. It's something. But the good thing is about you go to the blue white game. There's always new people to see and everybody, and it's a great time. And I don't go for autographs or anything like that. I just go to enjoy the self and say hi to the guys and all that because most of them all know me, so that's pretty cool. So, and that's great. That's great. And I've been going since 2001. So there you go. So long
that's
time.
That's terrific.
So,
terrific.
You better believe it. Yep. I mean, even though my Mets are not playing great right now, it's a long season. Jeez.
It is a long year.
Go yet. But you made
it
a good point about
year.
The Phillies. Yeah, you made a good point about the Phillies, buddy. They should I predict by June, the half of the guys are going to be up already. I think that's my prediction.
Yeah.
So,
I think they're going to have to do it in such a way where contractually it allows them to maintain them as long as they can. This is what the Pirates did with Gregory Polanco. This is what the Cubs did with Chris Bryant. Expect the Phillies to do the same thing where contractually it balances out in their favor. And it makes complete sense for them to do it because, look, realistically, they're not going to contend this year. So you might as well do things in such a way that benefit the club long term. And that would be one of them, staggering as to how they bring up guys from the minor leagues to play. Because the group they have right now, I'd be shocked if this is the group that finishes the season.
Sure. See, I'll just tell you real quick. If you remember the Mets a few years ago when they had the big contracts to Bobby Bonilla and Jason Bay, they cut them.
Right.
But they paid them. I think it was last year. Oh. It was their last year. Last year they paid both of those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, Bonilla was still getting a check from the Mets last year. That's one of the amazing stories. There are two amazing stories in sports in terms of money. One is Bobby Bonilla still getting a check a year ago.
Yeah.
And the other one and the other one is the Spirits of St. Louis of the ABA received their last television check 2 years ago from the NBA because of what they did. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. And just real quick, I just want to touch on Will Smith, the player from Ohio State
who
was tragically killed.
Right.
That was awful. That just tore my heart out, you know. Geez, you know. But that's life today. You never know what's going to happen. So, but it's just so sad. And you know, I'm not a Ohio State fan, but it's so sad. And you know, you better believe it. So,
yeah,
okay,
it's
buddy,
very sad.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian.
You better believe. You got it, buddy. And we'll talk to you. And we'll see you definitely Saturday. You got it.
I'm looking forward to it. 1-800-795-9565. What happened with Will Smith is the former New Orleans Saints player is just tragic is the right word. It's sad beyond words. Why it escalated to that, I don't know. We will come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Need a new truck? Shunbury Motors Ford says this is the time and this is the place. SMC has 98 new 2016 Ford F-150s with savings up to $9,750. They start as low as $22,219. Choose from 47 2016 F Super Duty trucks that are equipped to do the best job of towing your camper, boat, or trailer. 2016 F-250 trucks are discounted up to $10,200. And are priced from just $32,279. Sunbury Motors needs your truck trade-in, and they're offering the absolute highest trade values during the month of April. If an SUV is in your future, SMC has 59 of the fuel-efficient 2016 Ford Escapes, and they're priced as low as $19,880. There's also 0% financing for up to 60 months on 2016 Ford Explorers, Expeditions, Escapes, and F-150. This is the time, and Sunbury Motors is the place to get your new truck. SMC in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving all of Central PA since 1915.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Day began with about a 15-20-minute call with Jack Arut this morning, where I could just feel the burn in the back of my neck from the fury of Kevin Herr.
How tempted were you to text him to let him know who you were talking to at the time?
Wasn't too busy talking to him. too busy doing my job. Vince Scully used a line today that I've used many times before. People have asked me, 34 years doing, And I'm about to go into my 35th year doing Penn State basketball, about to go into my 25th year overall in Penn State football, 17 doing the play-by-play. And they said, what's that feel like? And I said, obviously there's been no job advancement. So Scully said today, 67 years, same job, no job advancement. The fans at Dodger Stadium today chanted one more year, one more year, and he said no, but thank you. So this is it. This is the last year. I didn't get a chance to run in at all to Joe Davis this year. He'll be taking Vince Scully's spot.
Joe did a lot of Big Ten basketball this year. I know he worked with John Crispin, and John told me he really likes him a lot. He really likes Joe a lot. I think Joe sounds terrific in the air, but I never got a chance to meet him or talk with him. No. Because Fox, obviously, you know, they own 51% of the Big Ten network. Turner and CBS now through 2032. You know what they should do? They have four networks currently carrying the games, right? True TV, TNT, TBS, and CBS. There should be a fifth network that they utilize. You know what they should do with it? They should do it as like NFL Red Zone.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
And call it the bracket channel.
Why not put it on CBS Sports Network? That's a no-brainer.
Yep. I'd call it the bracket channel. Red Zone was created by NFL Network, which is commercial-free, and Chris Hansen, I mean, tell me the moment he makes a mistake. I'll be shocked when it happens. But he's on all day from noon until the last play is done with on the Sunday afternoon schedule, so sometimes it could be around 7:30 or so. Commercial-free. And the network was created with fantasy football in mind, so you could see all the scoring plays. Well, in reality, isn't your bracket like fantasy baseball, fantasy football? Why not do a bracket channel? Where you're sitting there and you break into on the channel the game that could be the upset. Or the close of the few minutes of this, whatever. You know, so many options to go to. That's what I'd do. If you wanted to put commercials on it, so be it, fine. But I think the bracket channel would be a cool thing, don't you?
They definitely have enough announcers from, you know, both Turner and both, you know, and CBS combined to
You just cut into the game that's going on right now. You know, it's on True TV. Stephen F. Austin is leading West Virginia. Let's go to, I don't know where the heck it was, Phillips Arena in Atlanta. And
I would be
I
would be happy even if it's limited commercial interruption. Wouldn't even have to be commercial free for me. Just as long as they do the whip around and get to the right game at the right time that you want to see.
I think we're in that era now where people like that. Now, my wife always refers, or Kathy always refers to it as, if I have Red Zone on, oh, you have the ADD channel on. So I'm just trying to check out other games. That's all, because you know I don't play fantasy anything.
No, neither do I. Used to, but not anymore. No.
I mean, Kevin's life's a fantasy, so it just fits. but he's in the back saying, I'm still getting killed on this show? Are you kidding me? but I would do that. I think it would cater to an audience that is interested because they filled out a bracket, but they're not sure really who the starting point guard for Stephen F. Austin is. But they are interested that if Stephen F. Austin pulls the upset, and they've got that channel that has that can take them right to it when it's happening. What do you think?
I would trademark that in a second. Absolutely. I mean, second day of the tournament, I was in an establishment, and there was about three or four guys sitting at the corner of the bar. Oklahoma was playing, and they all filled out brackets, and they may have even threw down a little bit of extra money. I doubt for entertainment. Now, for entertainment purposes only, but they were he was so intently looking at, you know, how far ahead Oklahoma was in that game that they had to be. I think the point spread was like 12.5 or 13, or something like that. Maybe it was higher than that, and they were only up by like 8 or 9. And they were They're under the four timeout and starting to white knuckle it. I go, come on. Right. It's the early part of the tournament, Bob. It's no big deal. He goes, it's not your money. It's not your money I'm betting with.
But I mean, that would be something I would consider. If I were them, I'd think about it.
So for guys that have interest like that, a channel like that would be perfect.
And you're right. There's enough network talent where they could do it and, you know, and not have to dip into Matt Weiner or Ernie Johnson or Greg Gumbel. I'm sure there's somebody else they can put in the studio and they could do that. But somebody, there's enough people that would do it, for goodness sakes. I think it's, I'd consider it. What would it hurt? It wouldn't hurt them. They already have the content. Yeah. Now that we've solved almost all the world's problems, coming up in the next hour, we'll work on the Middle East.
Well, we're well rested at least. So,
yeah, no, we're fine.
We're good.
Unfortunately, that'll have to be on the after show. So, you got Phillies baseball coming up tonight. Let's see. Deontay Davis declared for the NBA draft. Let's see. The key is whether you get an agent or not. For example, let's take Diamond Stone. Diamond Stone of Maryland declared for the NBA draft. He did get an agent. Melo Trimble declared as well from Maryland, but did not get an agent. Deontay Davis did. Dick and I did mention during the broadcast when Penn State played at Michigan State, not the game here, but the game at Michigan State, that the two of us were each hearing that Davis was a potential top 12 pick. And I think it's one of the mistakes that, you know, Time Izzo hardly ever makes any mistakes. And I understand that he put his trust in older players down the stretch in that game of Middle Tennessee State. I'd have given Davis a little run there at the end of the game because it's such a huge talent. But they also weren't a lot of rebounds in that game. But Davis did sign with an agent, so he is, as Dick Girardi would say, gone. And coming up tomorrow, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com on spring football and the new rulings involving college athletics, satellite camps, and the like. Doggone Jim Harbaugh's on the job 1 year. They're already making rules about him. Now, they did not rule on the IMG deal. They will do that in January. I can assure you, the people in Ann Arbor are making no travel plans. I think even they can guess which way it's going. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And don't forget, sign up for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, May 4th.